Hello, and welcome into the Oscars Movie Madness Podcast, Season 2. Now, you're going to notice something a little different. First of all, this might just be one episode. Let me explain. It is very late in the game for us to be recording a podcast to be able to help you fill out your Oscars bracket. That's because 2 or 3 months ago, I came to Austin and we started planning out what we wanted to do for Season 2, which looked a lot like Season 1. Episodes breaking down all the different categories and who we thought might win and all of that, plus a recap episode. And then 1 month turned to two, two turns to three, and suddenly it's the week before the Oscars this week. So I texted him to try and figure out a time that he would be free to record, and he gave me a couple of times, and well, those didn't really work very well for me. And then I said, well, what about these times? And he said, well, you know, I have a couple of kids, so it's a little difficult for me to find some room. And it turns out that now it is Wednesday and we have no podcast recorded. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a solo episode. And then following the Oscars, we're going to do a recap where Austin will talk a little bit about these different categories and how he did. But today, what we're going to talk about are three different sections. First of all, we're going to talk about three things that I'm very excited and looking forward to watching see transpire on Sunday. Second, we're going to talk about three things that I think could surprise a lot of people on Sunday. Not necessarily exciting things, but potential upsets to look for. And finally, we're going to do a brief rundown of the categories, probably not going to verbalize every single one of them, but some notable ones that might be interesting to keep an eye on. And if you picked an upset, you know, nobody's going to blame you. That reminds me, I'm going to post a couple of links in the show notes and also on the Facebook page to be able to help you fill out your bracket. This includes a Variety article and an IndieWire article, which are both articles that are launching off points for me whenever I'm doing research for the show. Second, make sure you pay the money to access the ballot for this year. Pay your $10, I'll send you the link password, and then make sure you get it filled out and turned in before the Oscar ceremony starts on Sunday. That's it. Let's jump into the show. Roll it. All right, welcome into part one. So I've broken these down into three things. Thing one, how powerful is the dog? The darling coming into Oscars week in this final month leading up to the Oscars was Power of the Dog. Everybody is picking it to win everything. And for good reason. I mean, it has 12 nominations this year, including some heavy, heavy, heavy hitter categories, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Supporting Actor, Supporting Actress, Adapted Screenplay, Cinematography, on and on and on and on and on it goes. And it's a really interesting movie, if for no other reason that it's a very unique Western. I mean, it's a very slow burn of a movie. It's a movie that is a Western, truly a Western. It looks it, it sounds like it. The landscapes are gorgeous, and you have cowboys going and doing their cowboy thing. But it's a quiet, slow burn. And it's unique in that it also takes place like at the tail end of that era in the 1900s. So like whenever vehicles are like rolling up, you kind of stop and wonder, and you're like, wait a minute, there weren't cars around this time. And actually there were. So one thing I'm going to be very curious to see is, yeah, it's nominated for 12 things this year, but how many of those is it actually going to win? And look, doing a quick rundown, I have my notes up here, and I'm going to look at some of my picks and some of these other experts' picks. You know, experts seem to be split on whether it'll win Best Picture. There seems to be unanimous consent that it'll win Best Director. When you have, you know, Best Actor, did I say Best Actor for it to? Yeah, actor. Best actor, that should tell you whether it's unanimous that he's going to win Best Actor. He's not. But, you know, cinematography, you can make an argument that it could win. And some of the other craft type of the below the line categories have some potential to be able to win. And some of the writing as well. Like you would not be made fun of for putting down a lot of Power of the Dog on your ballot. Is that going to be me? Spoiler alert, no, it probably won't. I remember watching it. I remember enjoying it. I remember seeing and thinking to myself, I could see why Academy people and critics love it. But it wasn't for me. It was very interesting. I was thinking about that movie a lot for about the week or so after watching it, just because I was like, my goodness, like there's a bit of a twist in it, but not an M. Night Shyamalan level twist, but there is a bit of a twist in it that leaves you wondering, wait a minute, it kind of recontextualizes an entire character in that movie. Does that mean that it's worthy of, you know, the majority of 12 Oscars? I'm not so sure. I'm probably going to err on the side of, you know, if we had to set a betting line at 6 Oscar wins, over under line being 6, will Power of the Dog win 6 Oscars? Right on, over under, I would likely take the under on that. Definitely going to win director, I think. Could win a cinematography, could win an adapted screenplay. But I mean, outside of that, or in some of the other below the line wins, I just don't think it's going to win more than 6, or even up to 6. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. How powerful is the dog? Thing two, if you know me, this should be no surprise, but thing two being Mitchells versus the Disney Machines. I really am fascinated by this one animation category. And I think just zooming out a little bit, you know, a lot of people talk about the Oscars being, you know, we need more popular movies. Look, I understand. I get where that's coming from. This year we had Dune. So, I mean, come on. And some fan favorites in there. But I get what you're saying, what people are saying. Animation category always has some of the most fun debates, because it is where you have popular movies blending with critical praise. And if you know me, you already know what I'm about to say. So this could come no shock. If you don't, have not heard me say this, Mitchells versus the Machines is my favorite movie of 2021. It is the best movie I watched the entire year. Hands down, it is. And I remember suggesting this movie to people and really having to like preface it, being like, look, watch the trailer. You just got to believe me. You got to hold on. Believe me, this is going to be worth your time. It's a Netflix movie, but it comes from Sony Animation. The producers of it are the same producers of Into the Spider-Verse. It's a really interesting type of the 3D animation, really kind of going down that path that was blazed by Into the Spider-Verse. And that baton that was kind of started in the relay with it, picked up by Mitchells versus the Machines. And then if you've already watched Turning Red by Pixar this year, it's almost like this movie handed off the baton to that movie, and just like the amount of zaniness in it. But listen, this movie, it is the perfect blend. There is a line that a movie can cross. And a lot of times the DreamWorks like directive home video type of movies really blow past this line into like just complete zaniness. But there is a line, Storks flirted with it, that movie from a few years ago from Warner Brothers, that there's a line that is just zany slapstick, but still endearing. And if you blow right past it, it becomes obnoxious. If you kind of teeter that line and staying in that heartwarming thing, okay, now what's the rest of your story got? Well, Mitchells versus the Machines has a heartfelt family drama story that is weirdly relatable and definitely is needed in a movie about killer robots, basically Amazon taking over the world. You need that in this sort of movie. And I don't know, don't tell me how it works. Don't ask me to explain why it works at all. But somehow it does. and not just from an enjoyment standpoint, but it really, from a craft standpoint too, it really works. And it just won the Annie Award for Best Animated Film of the Year. That's the animation award, and that's a really big thing. Now, there is the Disney machine that it's got to go up against. Is interesting, of the five nominees, three of them are Disney movies: Raya the Last Dragon, Luca, which is another, that one is another one of my favorites from this year. I love that movie a lot. And then Encanto. And a lot of people are saying Encanto is going to be the winner. Whew. If that happens, if you remember me going on a little bit of a rant last year about Zootopia winning over Kubo and the Two Strings, forget what year that was, maybe 2017. This will be that times 1,000. It just, there's no reason that Encanto should win. I can go, I'll talk about that later in the, when we break down that category. There are some reasons why it could win, but we'll save that for a little bit later. Now, here's what I think is interesting. The Annie Award. So Mitchells versus the Machines wins the Annie Award. It should be the shoo-in for Best Animated Feature, right? That's kind of like winning, you know, the Producers Guild Award or Directors Guild Award, or, you know, like some of these, the BAFTA or something for a Best Picture nominee. Like, it should bode pretty well. Well, since 2001, only that's the year, 2001 is the year that the animated Oscar, the Oscar for Best Animated Feature started, and Shrek won it that year, actually, fun fact. Only six movies, only six have been different between the Annie Award winner and the Oscar winner. That's crazy. So that's a pretty good percentage, though. It's pretty well for Mitchells versus the Machines. But of those six, five of those Oscars went to a Disney movie when the Annie Award winner was not a Disney win. Five of the six. So let me just do a quick rundown. 2006, Cars won the Annie Award. Happy Feet won the Oscar, weirdly enough. 2008, Kung Fu Panda won the Annie, and WALL-E won the Oscar. How to Train Your Dragon won the Annie in 2010. Toy Story 3 won it. Won the Oscar. 2012 is weird because it went to a Pixar movie instead of an actual Disney animation movie. Wreck-It Ralph won the Annie. Brave won the Oscar. How to Train Your Dragon 2 won the Annie Award in 2014. Big Hero 6, Disney animation, wins the Oscar. And finally, 2019, Toy Story 4 wins the Oscar. When Klaus, one of the most underrated holiday movies to come out in recent memory, it won the Annie Award, and for good reason. So, will we be throwing the 2022 Annie Oscar situation down as well? I think there is a very good chance of that, also because I'm very pessimistic. So Thing 1, How Powerful Is a Dog? Thing 2, Mitchells versus the Disney Machines. Really going to be watching that animated category very, very, very closely. And Thing 3 has a little bit to do with the animation category. Because you notice I've only mentioned four of the five animation categories, animated films. Thing 3, international showings. So, two movies are very, very interesting that are both nominated for Best International Feature. Drive My Car and Flea. Flea is also nominated. This is what's fascinating to me. These two movies are nominated for five different Oscars that have to do with features. Five different feature Oscars. Flea is an animated documentary, more or less animated documentary, about someone coming out as an Afghan refugee. And so the director, filmmaker, made it animated, being able to hide the guy's identity and everything. It's really, really interesting, a really fascinating movie. And it's nominated in three different picture categories: Best Animated Feature, Best International Feature, and Best Category. However, it has a really solid chance. Those of you that have gone to Cedar Point will understand this joke here. This film is not, it has a, it's nominated in three different film categories and has a chance to win not one, not two, not three, but a solid chance to win zero of those categories. We've already talked about the animated feature. There's no chance it's breaking through. If it does, I'm going to be very, very surprised. Best documentary feature. It has a shot a bit, but Questlove might have something to say about it, and we'll get to that in a little bit. And best international feature is actually most likely going to go to our other international showing, Drive My Car, nominated for best international feature and best picture. So, 8 movies in history have been nominated for best international feature and best picture. And of those 8, of those 7, so this Drive My Car would be the 8th. Let me check, do my count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes. So 7 have done this before. Drive My Car is the 8th. Of those 7, only one has not won the international award. So only one movie of 7 in all of Oscar's movie history has been nominated for both international feature and best picture and has not won international picture. So those movies, in case you're wondering, is Z from 1969. The movie that did not win is Emigrants from 1971. Life is Beautiful in 1998, won international, didn't win Best Picture. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, 2000, won international, lost Best Picture. Amour in 2012, you know, lost Best Picture, but won international. Roma won international, probably should have won Best Picture that year, but you know, Green Book, that's a thing. And then Parasite from 2019 won Best Picture and Best International. So I think Drive My Car is likely one of the surest bets that we have on this in this Oscar season. So you could probably slap that down. International feature, best international feature, it's going to win. Flea, a little more question as to whether it's going to come away with anything from any of these picture categories. And one final bonus thing, if you haven't watched Robin yet, animated short, that was I would have made it probably my second favorite film of the year. The only problem was it was so short, but it's nominated for a best animated short film. And I think you already know what I think is going to win that category, or should. And it's my boys from Aardman making Robin. Those are 3 things that I'm really looking forward to. Now, let's take a quick break and look into 3 sneaky things. 3 things that could be a little tricky when it comes to filling out the Oscars bracket.
It's intermission time, folks. So hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right over to our refreshment center for the most extravagant array of refreshment goodies ever assembled under one roof. Enjoy breathtaking, mouth-watering goodies. Everything from a snack to a delicious full meal. At our refreshment center, you'll find a large variety of goodies to satisfy your hunger, your thirst, or your sweet tooth. So hurry, hurry, hurry. Visit our refreshment center now.
And we're back. So we just talked about the 3 things I'm really excited and looking forward to watching. Now, let's talk about 3 things that could trip us up on this bracket. So, first thing, best actor. Now, this year's best actor crop is pretty good, like pretty solid. Benedict Cumberbatch is just, you know, overmatched, you could say. But I think that Of these three, I'll go ahead and admit, of these 3 things that I think are sneaky things to look for with potential upsets, I really think this is the most far-fetched one. I'll just go ahead and say it. I think Will Smith is very, very likely going to be the winner. Not my words, just the words of a lot of other people a lot smarter than I am that have watched a lot more of these movies than I have. He did a very, very good job in that film, and he, you know, not only has he done a great job, but it's likely going to be one of these situations where people are like, wait a minute, has he not won one yet? Has he not won an Oscar yet? He's been nominated how many times? He has been nominated quite a few times, still hasn't won one. Is this the year that he's finally going to get it? And it's a very, very solid shot. But, He won the SAG, he won the BAFTA, he won the Critics' Choice, the Critics' Award. Will Smith is pretty much going to be a shoo-in. I'm really pulling for Andrew Garfield. I think that him getting nominated for Tick, Tick, Boom is a really fascinating nomination. There's a lot of goodwill going towards him right now, especially on the back end of the Spider-Man movie coming out and him really stealing the show in that as well. Can I see him upsetting, getting the upset win? No, but a lot of people didn't see Anthony Hopkins winning last year either. So let's keep an open mind. Will Smith, more than likely going to win it. Don't be surprised if somebody upsets him. And if somebody is going to upset him, I would not be surprised if it's Andrew Garfield. That might be my heart talking. Speaking of my heart talking, listen. Second thing here. I wrote down in my notes, Nightmare Alley, time to gush about this movie. Listen, I know none of you went and watched this movie when it was in theaters because the box office really shows it. But it is streaming on multiple streaming platforms right now. And you need to take the time to watch this movie. That's simply put. It may leave with zero wins, but I think it deserves to win at least either production design and or costume, or both. And I think an argument could seriously be made for cinematography. And when it was nominated for Best Picture, I was like, excuse me, what? This is insane. This is truly taking advantage of the 10 Best Picture nominations. But this movie itself is super, super solid, really, really good. It is a noir. It is oozing and dripping on every frame with just style and character. It was perfectly cast, perfectly acted, and it's just the way that it is pieced together, the way that it just all comes together, is perfect. It is a really, really solid movie, and it deserves your praise. It deserves your attention. Likely didn't get a lot of buzz because of the pandemic era, cinema landscape, you know, with a lot of these adult oriented dramas, not really getting a lot of play, because, you know, you lived it. So I think that it really could, not a lot of people talking about it, you know, costume design. I think that, you know, Cruella is definitely going to be the front runner in that, but Nightmare Alley is going to be right there. Production design, we'll get to that. We'll just get to it right now. Production design, you know, is likely Dune. A lot of people have Dune winning that move, that. But, you know, Nightmare Alley should be right there. Cinematography, all of these elements that are the strongest and make Nightmare Alley as strong and stylish as it is, are the costumes, production design, and cinematography. The acting and everything, yes, that's great. But those three things are three categories that this movie and any other year, I think, would run away with. And so do not be surprised if it wins one of those three this year. And finally, the last most interesting thing, and this is a dark horse candidate, that is me simply saying, look, I'm just saying, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. So I was listening to the IndieWire podcast the other day, and they brought up an interesting tidbit. So in the last 33 years, the Best Picture winner has been nominated for editing. Let me say that again. In the last 33 years, only one movie that has won Best Picture, only one, has not also been nominated for Best Editing. The only exception is Birdman, because that was made to look like it was a single shot. 32 of the last 33 Best Picture winners have been nominated for editing. There are 10 Best Picture nominees this year. Five editing nominees are Don't Look Up, Dune, King Richard, Power of the Dog, Tick, Tick, Boom. So recently there has been a real headwind with Coda to win Best Picture. Solid movie, very deserving. Definitely could go on ahead and run away with Best Picture. If you look at the IndieWire and Variety articles that I was talking about, they're split on whether, you know, one has Coda winning, one has Power of the Dog winning. But 32 of the last 33 Best Picture winners have also been nominated for editing. Tick, Tick, Boom. I don't believe Tick, Tick, Boom was nominated for Best Picture. So Don't Look Up, Dune, King Richard, Power of the Dog. You can make a very good argument that your Best Picture nominees have just been whittled down to four. Don't Look Up, Dune, King Richard, Power of the Dog. And with everything else that's going on, you could probably say, well, that pretty much guarantees Power of the Dog to win Best Picture, right? You know, that, based on your logic, that's what that means. And I would say, yeah, that makes sense. However, in the next section, this is a tease, in the next section where we're going to do a quick rundown of all of the big hitters when it comes to the categories that are left, I'm going to make an argument to try and convince you that neither Coda nor Power of the Dog are going to win Best Picture. And no, it is not Nightmare Alley. More on that after the break.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Do you like that intermission? Give you a little break from just me talking. So let's go and do a quick rundown. So I have these in reverse order of the ballot that is available right now if you pay your $10, and I'll send you the link and the password and you can get in there. And this is the inverse order of what that is. So if you start at the bottom, you can follow along going to the top. So I'm just going to quickly, I'm going to mention every single category, but I'm just going to quickly breeze through these ones that IndieWire, Variety, and myself all have a consensus pick on. So sound, likely going to be Dune. Let's go to the next one. Production design, we talked about this earlier. IndieWire and Variety both have Dune. I'm saying Nightmare Alley. This thing drips with noir and suspense. The production and lighting and everything is just a character of its own. And certainly, I think, deserves a win. If you put Dune, that makes sense as well. Costume design, straight flush, Cruella. It's going to be very difficult, I think, for that movie not to win it. One of the period pieces might surpass it. Just based on what, if you remember from last year, if not, it's in the feed, go ahead and listen to it. When we kind of break that down, you know, historical dramas, hair and makeup, costume design, those sorts of things, tend to do pretty well in that category. But Cruella, the movie's about fashion, and it doesn't have Jared Leto doing a bad Mario impression. So, Cruella is likely going to be the darling in that one. Makeup and hairstyling. This is split. IndieWire is Cruella. Variety has Eyes of Tammy Faye. And my pick is Eyes of Tammy Faye. I think if Cruella wins here, there's a good shot. I think you can make an argument that the Eyes of Tammy Faye, Jessica Chastain, does an excellent job. And she's completely transformed into Tammy Faye thanks to the makeup and hairstyling. And let me just do a quick look right here. I'm doing the minimal editing on this. Makeup and hair styling Oscar for a movie. Yes. So this is what, I thought so. So this is what I was just looking up. Last time we saw a huge transformation like she did for Tammy Faye, thanks to makeup and hair, it was Darkest Hour. And that ended up with an Oscar win for Gary Oldman because he was completely transformed into Winston Churchill. So I think that if Cruella wins here, I think that there's a good shot Jessica Chastain doesn't win Best Actress. Tammy Faye wins here. Those two might be linked. So that'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye out for. But honestly, either Cruella or Tammy Faye, you're not going to go wrong there. The next two I'm going to lump together, original song and original score. So original song, IndieWire saying No Time to Die, Variety is saying Encanto. Original score, IndieWire says Dune, Variety says Dune. Now, here are my picks for this, and this is going to kind of link up with best animated picture discussion. I think the best parts of Encanto are the music. It feels like it was a movie that was an idea of Lin-Manuel to, he has a bunch of these songs. He wants to put them in a movie. Disney said, okay, well, we'll get our story guys on it. They'll work with you and we'll just kind of piece together a narrative that'll make these songs make sense. Give you a chance to write a few new ones. Be real catchy. It'll be a real fun time. Yada, yada, yada. Now it's nominated for Best Animated Feature. As a movie, I don't think it's really that strong. As a narrative, the family dynamics and everything, I think Mitchell's versus the Machines is better. But what it exceeds at, what it excels at, is the music for sure. So original song, I think Encanto is going to win it. This song, the song that's nominated, is going to win, but it's going to be a win for We Don't Talk About Bruno. There's a whole thing. Long story short, Disney submits what it thinks has the best shot to be an Oscar winner. They submit those to be nominated. They get voted on. It was way before the movie even came out. And so nobody knew that We Don't Talk About Bruno was going to be such a big hit. That is why it is not nominated this year. Not because the Academy is stupid, but because Disney was stupid for not thinking it was going to be a hit. When we look at original score, I think Encanto has a very, very, very good shot of winning Best Original Score as well. However, have you watched Dune? There's a reason why IndieWire and Variety are picking Dune. Hans Zimmer really did a great job with this original score. And it'll be fun to see him get his first Oscar since The Lion King. So, fun fact, yes, he's won one, but it was because of Disney. Visual effects, Dune, probably going to win. No contest there. Sure, Spider-Man was a really fun movie, but, I mean, some of the visual effects in there seem very, very rushed. Dune just looks great. Superb. Film editing, Dune is what IndieWire's saying, Variety saying King Richard. I think it could go either way. That's a real coin flip there. International feature, we talked about this already, but IndieWire's saying Drive My Car, Variety is saying The Worst Person in the World. I think it's Drive My Car based on what we talked about earlier with it being nominated for Best Picture. Live action short, there is Please Hold. Five is what IndieWire saying. Variety saying Long Goodbye. I'm picking Long Goodbye because I liked Variety's reasons more. Just read the article and you'll see it. Animated short, IndieWire saying Robin Robin. Variety saying Windshield Wiper. I'm saying Robin Robin because it is one of the cutest and most adorable things that I've watched in a long time and has a lot of heart. And I'm already a sucker for anything Aardman, but the texture and the stop motion was used very, very creatively. It's not like claymation. It's more like felt based. It's very fascinating. And also, Richard E. Grant, if you enjoyed him as old Loki in the Loki show, imagine, him voicing a bird that sings and dances about how it loves collecting junk. He sings it himself. It's wonderful. It's truly, truly, really wonderful. Documentary short, IndieWire picked Leave Me Home. Variety's picking Queen of Basketball. Take your pick there. Watch them. Go with your heart. Documentary feature. Now, this is where I was saying Questlove is probably going to ruin Flea's day because Summer of Soul is the documentary that he is behind. And it is likely going to win. It is sweeping up a lot of wins this season, so the ball is in his court here. Cinematography, a lot of momentum for Dune. It's going to be very difficult to go against that. Adapted screenplay, IndieWire and Variety are both saying Coda. I'm going with Maggie Gyllenhaal with The Lost Daughter. Because again, there's some momentum there, but there's momentum swinging both ways. Apparently, there's been some buzz around Maggie Gyllenhaal winning that in discussions that people are having based on some stuff that I've read. But Coda, I mean, there's a reason why it's being picked by a lot of people for Best Picture Oscar. And the screenplay is a reason for that. Original screenplay, Licorice Pizza, Paul Thomas Anderson, or Kenneth Branagh are probably going to be your forerunners there. IndieWire and Variety have picked those respectively for theirs. So now we're back to animated feature here. IndieWire says Encanto, Variety says Encanto. It's going to be really bad whenever they're wrong, because Mitchells vs. Machines is the best animated feature of the year, hands down. It's just a better movie. I don't have any other, you can listen to earlier. I'm going to kind of skip over the supporting actor, read the articles. Oh, okay, fine. West Side Story and then Coda winning supporting actress, supporting actor. Best actress, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier. IndieWire and Variety are both picking Jessica Chastain. I'm also picking Jessica Chastain because I think Eyes of Tammy Faye is going to win the hair and makeup category, and I think that bodes well for her in the best actress category. Best actor, we've talked about this earlier. Will Smith is sweeping up all the awards. It's going to be very difficult for anybody else to win in that category. I'm really pulling for Andrew Garfield too, but I mean, honestly, there isn't a bad pick in that category. If any of them pulls an upset, I'll be happy. Shout out to Denzel Washington for doing Shakespeare. Like, I think that will carry a little bit of weight there. Now, we get to director. Again, pretty solid consensus here with Power of the Dog winning Best Director. But you'll notice that a lot of these categories, Power of the Dog is not winning. So that leads us into Best Picture. IndieWire, same Power of the Dog. Variety is picking Coda. Now, editing tidbit, I think is pretty interesting, and I think it is strong enough to be able to sway anybody from Coda to Power of the Dog. But lend me your ear real quick. The year is 2016. I don't know if you remember that. That was a super solid year. It's probably one of the best years for film that we could possibly remember. You know, The Martian was nominated for Best Picture that year. There is where the world was reintroduced to Brie Larson because of Room. There was Spotlight. There was The Big Short. There were tons of movies. Super, super solid movies that came out that year. And also, you'll recall, Mad Max Fury Road was nominated for Best Picture. Now, I remember listening to a lot of people I was friends with saying, like, it should win Best Picture. There's a path for it to win Best Picture. And the path for it to win Best Picture had to do with a lot of other people thinking that, you know, Spotlight is the best movie of the year. No, is my number one. And I'll put Mad Max number two. No, you know, Big Short is number one, but Mad Max is number two. And with the way that ballot shapes out, you know, you have a bunch of people split on number one, but then a lot of consensus with what's the second best movie. I would argue that this year we have a bit of a Mad Max nominated for Best Picture. But the rest of the field is not nearly as strong as it was for that 2016 year. Like, you have Power of the Dog, pretty good movie. You have King Richard, pretty solid. That's like a standard issue Oscar bait type of movie. Not anything against it. That just is what it is. Belfast falls into that as well. Coda is kind of like that Room. Not The Room, but Room. It's kind of in that vein. But we don't have, like, you don't have a Martian. You don't have The Martian. You don't have The Big Short. You don't have those types of movies this year to stand in the way of Dune. I think there is a solid path for Dune to take home the Best Picture Oscar. It's nominated, I think, for 10 Oscars this year. It's going to take the majority of the ones that it's nominated for, because they are a lot of below the line. And again, with a lot of below the line nominations, those aren't really going to be the ones that win you the best picture. Mad Max won the majority of those below the line Oscars the year it was nominated, and it didn't win best picture. So that is why I made that distinction where, you know, Power of the Dog has a lot of, has 12 nominations, leads the way. And a lot of those are the acting and directing and writing and cinematography type of categories. Whereas Dune, the majority of its nominations are a lot of below the line. So that is the challenge that it faces. But if you want to turn in your ballot and put Dune down for Best Picture, I don't think anybody's going to blame you. I think that there is a logical reason to do that. Is it a shot? Is it a long shot? Yes, it definitely is. Is Power of the Dog or Coda probably a safer bet? Yes, definitely is. But I'm going to be putting Nightmare Alley because I like going with my heart sometimes. Maybe I won't. I don't know. I haven't finished my ballot up quite yet. But realistically, it's likely going to be down to Power of the Dog or Coda. But hey, man, you do you. You put down who you think is the best, whether you're going with your head or you're going with your heart. Just make sure you turn in that ballot. This thing has gone on longer than I was hoping it would. Thank you so much for sticking around, and let's turn the reel off and do some quick reminders. Thanks for listening. Make sure you send in your $10 to access the ballot as soon as possible, and submit the ballot before the Oscars start on March 27th. See you next time.